From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
VOI listener, wherever you are, how are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Indonesia condemns Israel's attack on hospital in Gaza. Inviting 30 Mexican entrepreneurs to TEI 2023, Indonesian ambassador to Mexico hopes trade transaction at least 31 billion rupiah. IMF seeks strong budget, narrower deficit from Sri Lanka. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news, where Indonesian President Joko Widodo via the presidential secretariat YouTube channel on Thursday condemned the violence in the Gaza Strip due to the escalating conflict between Israel and the Hamas group. He also condemned Israel's attack on the hospital in Gaza. President Joko Widodo promised that Indonesia would not remain silent seeing the suffering of the Palestinian people.
Indonesia mengecam keras tindak kekerasan yang terjadi di Gaza.
Indonesia strongly condemned the acts of violence that occurred in Gaza because they have resulted in suffering and increasing numbers of civilian victims, including women and children. Indonesia also condemned Israel's attacks on the Al-Ahli or Baptist Hospital. This is a clear violation of international humanitarian law. Indonesia will not remain silent watching civilian casualties continue to fall, seeing injustice against the Palestinian people that continue to occur.
Melihat ketidakadilan terhadap rakyat Palestina.
Previously, President Joko Widodo had ordered Foreign Minister Marsudi to attend an extraordinary meeting of ministers of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC, in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, and to continue working on the evacuation of Indonesian citizens who were currently still hampered by conditions in the field. President Joko Widodo also calls on the world to build global solidarity to resolve the Palestinian issue fairly and implement agreed international parameters. The Indonesian ambassador to Mexico, Chepi Triprakoso Buartoro, in an interview with Voice of Indonesia on Thursday, said that he and other delegates had succeeded in bringing 30 Mexican businessmen to attend the 2023 Trade Expo Indonesia TEI. Based on reports which he has received, there are already several entrepreneurs who are interested in doing business in Indonesia. He hopes to achieve transaction of at least $2 million, around 31 billion rupiah.
Saya harapkan ini bisa.
I hope that this can be a transaction of at least $1 or $2 million. I heard today from several friends, report from my staff who are interested in various products, and they are trying to deliver it deeper into negotiations and so on.
Mencoba mendalami negosiasi dan seterusnya.
I hope that this can be a transaction of at least $1 or $2 million. I heard today from several colleagues, reports from my staff. There have been some who are interested in various products and they are trying to enhance deeper into negotiations and so on. Ambassador Chepi revealed that Indonesia has so far exported local products to Mexico, starting from CPO spare parts for motor vehicle, home decor, furniture, textile, rubber, electronic products, and food and beverage products. He also said that he really supports Indonesian entrepreneurs to enter Mexican trade market by paying attention to products' quality and consistency. Trade Expo Indonesia TEI 2023 is the largest international trade exhibition in Indonesia, organized by the Indonesian Ministry of Trade and the Indonesian Chambers of Commerce and Industry. The 38th Trade Expo Indonesia has the theme Sustainable Trade for Global Economic Resilience. Indonesia has exported gold jewelry worth $286.98 million to the United Arab Emirates UAE in the 49 days since the implementation of the Indonesia-UAE Comprehensive Economic Partnerships Agreement. During the signing ceremony of the Indonesian gold jewelry export contract with the UAE in Tangerang on Thursday, the Indonesian ambassador to UAE, Hussein Bagi, said that the implementation of the UAE CEPA has forged a closer bilateral relationship between the two countries, especially in trade and investment. He added in a press release issued by the Indonesian embassy in Abu Dhabi that the coming years are a momentum that should not be missed by business actors and stakeholders in Indonesia to be able to implement strategic partnership projects. Muhammad Komaini, head of the Indonesian Trade Promotions Center ITPC in Dubai, said that Indonesia is currently ranked 7 among suppliers of jewelry to the UAE market after India, Turkey, Italy, France, Singapore, and Malaysia. According to Hussein, with the IUAE CEPA in place, it is hoped that Indonesian businesses will take advantage of the momentum to boost the export of jewelry and other leading products, thus helping Indonesia's products become more competitive. Internist and consultant of tropical and infectious disease from the state-run Dr. Cipto Mangunkusumo Hospital, RSCM, Dr. Robert Sinto, revealed that the government is prioritizing the provisions of monkeypox vaccine to vulnerable groups. He said that an online talk show with the Jakarta Health Service on Thursday, the priority scale aims to ensure that the limited number of vaccines can be used optimally for people who are in need. According to Dr. Robert, access to the monkeypox vaccine will not be as easy as for the COVID-19 vaccine, which was given to all levels of society without a priority scale. The decision to limit access to the monkeypox vaccine was taken because there are still many ways that people can prevent contracting monkeypox besides getting vaccinated. According to the World Health Organization's WHO, monkeypox is an infectious disease caused by the monkeypox virus. It can cause a painful rash, enlarged lymph nodes, and fever. Indonesia is targeting Japan and South Korea as a new modest fashion market, Deputy Trade Minister Jerry Sambuaga has said. Sambuaga also added that several countries with small Muslim population have a high demand for modest fashion. He also said, after the opening of the Jakarta Modest Fashion Week or JMFW at the Indonesian Trade Expo ISBST in Tangerang, Banten on Thursday, Muslim fashion from Indonesia, including modest clothing, is in high demand globally. Therefore, efforts to expand the modest fashion market are nation's aim to becoming the global mecca of Muslim fashion can be realized. Bank Indonesia and the World Bank are collaborating to prepare a financial digital service training model to guide micro, small and medium enterprises MSMEs players on developing their businesses. In addition to providing MSMEs with information on practical steps to access digital financial services, the model will guide MSMEs players on accessing products that can help them develop their businesses. According to the Beyond Unicorn Harnessing Digital Technologies for Inclusion in Indonesia reports released by the World Bank in 2021, the development of digital financial services aims to promote financial and payment solutions offered by digital technology. The report also states that digital financial service can provide Indonesian people who do not possess bank accounts access to financial services. During the webinar, Irene Heniwati, executive analyst at Bank Indonesia's Department of MSMEs Development and Consumer Protections, expressed the hope that the training model would enhance inclusiveness in financial service access and help Indonesia boost the financial literacy of its MSMEs. She also spoke about the risk of digital services such as product scams, fraud via phone calls, data theft, and misuse of SIM cards, as well as issues related to cybersecurity. Let's move on to the international news, where the International Monetary Fund IMF is looking for a strong budget and narrower deficit from Sri Lanka as it seeks funding to bridge the gap between government revenue and expenditure. The IMF mission chief for the country said on Friday, Sri Lanka plunged into its worst financial crisis in 7 decades last year after its foreign exchange reserves dwindled to record low, But since locking down a $2.9 billion IMF program in March has managed to partly stabilize its economy, reducing runaway inflation and rebuilding reserves. But the country has struggled to increase public revenue, with the IMF projecting a 15% shortfall this year. An improved performance for next year is necessary for Sri Lanka to get past the first review of its program with a global lender. Sri Lanka reached a staff-level agreement with the IMF late on Thursday to release the second tranche of about $330 million, but still needs approval from the IMF Management and Executive Board. Well, listener, now let's move on to our next information, Diplomatic Corner.
Bella Group, a company from Bulgaria, signed a Memorandum of Understanding MOU on trade and investment cooperation with an Indonesian company, PT Garuda Mitra Utama. According to a written statement from Indonesian Embassy in Sofia, Bulgaria, received in Jakarta on Tuesday, the signing of the MOU includes cooperation in the supply of rendang raw materials for 4 years, worth $34 million or around 534 billion rupiah, and cooperation in establishing a meat processing factory in Indonesia, worth $38 million or around 597 billion rupiah. The signing of the MOU was carried out by the Chief Operating Officers of Bella Bulgaria, Dimitar Mitev, and Member of the Board of Director Bella Bulgaria, Nikolai Khrushchev, and the President Director of PT Garuda Mitra Utama, Hendro Santoso. The signing was also witnessed by the Indonesian Ambassador Extraordinary and Plenipotentiary to Bulgaria, Albania, and North Macedonia, Iwan Bogananta. Besides, the statement also mentioned that in 2022, Iwan Bogananta succeeded in realizing an investment agreement with the Bella Group to establishing a factory in Bulgaria to support the Rendang Goes to Europe program and the development of the Indonesian food market. The Rendang factory has a special location which covers 5,000 meters of the 20,000 meters industrial area owned by the Bella Group to maintain the halal rendang products and other Indonesian food products. According to Iwan, as an initial realization, 40 tons of rendang seasoning from Indonesia per month will start shipping in early November 2023. Iwan Bogananta also conveyed that the commitment to cooperation between Bella Bulgaria and PT Garuda Mitra Utama was the continuation of the establishment of the rendang factory which then developed. According to him, Bulgaria is interested in investing in a meat processing factory in Indonesia to meet the market in Indonesia and abroad. Moreover, according to Iwan, the implementation of factory development projects in Indonesia and the realization of the Rendang Goes to Europe program will make a positive contribution to the economy in Indonesia. He has said that these projects will open up employment opportunities and encourage Indonesian products to enter the global market. On the same occasion, Bella Bulgaria's Chief Operating Officer Dimitar Mitev said that the investment in building a meat processing factory in Indonesia aims to meet the needs of the processed halal meat market in Indonesia. According to him, Indonesia is a large market with a population of almost 270 million people. He is optimistic that he can fill the market share of processed food products in Indonesia.
Well, listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Patriot proklamasi, sedia berkembang.
Let's begin today in history with an October 20, 1945 event about the Battle of Ambarawa. The Battle of Ambarawa was a battle between the Indonesian Army and the British Army just after World War II. It took place in Ambarawa District, Semarang Central, Java from October 20, 1945 to December 15, 1945, ending with the victory of the Indonesian People's Securities Army, JKR, after the Allies and the Netherlands Indian Civil Administration, NICA, troops were pushed back. The Battle of Ambarawa began with the arrival of Allied troops led by Brigadier General Bethel in Semarang on October 1945. Their initial goals was to take care of Japanese prisoners of war and soldiers in central Java. However, the Allied troops who had been accompanied by the NICA apparently released the prisoners and armed them in an effort to regain Indonesia, which was a former Dutch colony. However, Indonesia had proclaimed its independence on August 17, 1945 and refused to be under the Dutch again. Let's move on to an event on October 20, 1996 when the World Osteoporosis Day observed for the first time. World Osteoporosis Day was a project of the National Osteoporosis Society in England on October 20, 1996. Osteoporosis is a condition where the bones become so weak and brittle that they are considered dangerous. The International Osteoporosis Foundation's IOF considers that it is important for everyone to be aware of bone health from an early age. In the late 90s, the World Health Organization WHO, along with the International Osteoporosis Foundation, co-sponsored World Osteoporosis Day. Since then, the International Osteoporosis Foundation has taken much of the lead in sponsoring events to raise awareness of the importance of bone health around the world. World Osteoporosis Day is to make people aware of the importance of a healthy lifestyle and diligent exercise so that they can live a better life in the future. We enter in history with the death of Muammar Gaddafi in 2011. On October 20, 2011, Africa and the Arab world's longest-serving leader, Muammar Gaddafi, Abu Minyar Gaddafi, was captured and killed by rebel forces in Sirte, Libya. He was born in Sirte, Libya, during the Italian colonial era in 1940s and died on October 20, 2011 at the age of 68 years. Quoting History.com, after more than 40 years in power, Gaddafi saw his regime begin to unravel the February 2011. When anti-government protests erupted in Libya following uprising in Egypt and Tunisia in early 2011, Gaddafi vowed to crush the rebellion and ordered a tough crackdown on the demonstrators. However, in August 2011, rebel forces with assistance from NATO succeeded in taking control of Tripoli and forming a transitional government. Gaddafi went into hiding, but on October 20, 2011, he was captured and shot by rebel forces.
when I still had the chance. I guess it's time for me to face it. Days passing by, still don't know why you're in my mind, spinning around in my head. Caught up in the touch of your lips, I don't wanna stop but the time is running. I wanna go, I don't wanna know. I'm so ashamed but I can't let go. Should move but now it's too late. Having you lying in my bed, I wanna know, girl, I wanna know. How could it feel so right when it's wrong?
You're still listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next segment, we present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, My Indonesia today focuses on Saudi-Indonesia trade cooperation being mutually beneficial. Indonesian Trade Minister Zulkifli Hasan said trade performance between Indonesia and Saudi Arabia is increasing for being mutually beneficial. This was stated by the minister during the Saudi-Indonesian roundtable meeting of the Indonesian Chambers of Commerce and Industry, or KADIN, and Federation of Saudi Chambers in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, on Thursday. According to Minister Zulkifli, Saudi Arabia has always been an important trade partner for Indonesia. Until now, trade performance between Indonesia and Saudi Arabia keeps showing positive results. In 2022, the two nations' total bilateral trade was $7.51 billion, or increasing by 35% compared to last year. From 2018 until 2022, the trade balance of the two countries was improving at an annual level around 5%. From this, Zulkifli Hasan believed there is still a lot of room for the two countries to keep using the existing opportunities. Minister Zulkifli Hasan also explained that the Saudi-Indonesian roundtable meeting aims to improve investment for the two nations, mainly in infrastructure, energy, Hajj and Umrah, banking, health, agriculture, as well as oil and gas. In the recent 5 years, Saudi's investment in Indonesia was only $22 million for 264 projects. The two countries' economies still have opportunities for collaboration. One of the cooperation for investment improvement in this forum was put into a memorandum of understanding for infrastructure and energy. The MOU was signed by KADIN and FSC, the Chambers, as well as Acua Power at PT Pertamina International EP. Meanwhile, the total Indonesia-Saudi Arabian trade in January until August 2023 was $3.80 billion. From the number, the Indonesian exports to Saudi Arabia were recorded at $1.39 billion, while Indonesian imports from Saudi Arabia were valued at $2.41 billion. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia Today, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Di tengah sepiku yang tiada berlalu, hadirmu terangi malamku. Rindu yang tersimpan. berbeda. Oh, setiap namamu bersinar di hadapanku, abadaya diriku. Tak mampu hindari kejutan rasa yang dulu selalu mewarnai asmara. Izinkan ku kembali mengulang kisah yang lalu bersama.
Still with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id, RRI Playgo, and also shortwave frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz. Listener, next we present you a program called Indonesian Wonder that presents information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Listener, here is Indonesian Wonder. 15th October 2023, thousands of people dance in the Wates Square, Kulon Progo Regency, Yogyakarta, accompanied by an orchestra and a singer. The women dance angguk, a typical dance of Kulon Progo. Most of the dancers wore new kutu kebaya with lurik or striped motifs and jarit sapit urang batem. It is believed that the angguk Kulon Progo art emerged around 1900s. This art originated from dance parties for Dutch soldiers and officers. They danced and sang while occupying the Purworejo Regency, Central Java. Time by time, the angguk dance is performed as an expression of gratitude to God after the rice harvest. To express their gratitude, young people express their happiness by singing accompanied by folk rhymes and religious chant containing advice which is expressed by singing using Javanese tembang traditional song. It is called angguk, which means nod, because every movement made is always accompanied by a nod of the head. Besides, before carrying out a series of movement motifs, it also starts with respect or nodding your head and bowing. From the movement, the art of angguk was created. Initially, the angguk dance was danced by men. Finally, then this dance is danced by women. Listener, basically, angguk dance is divided into two types of dance, namely line-up dance or ombyokan and couple dance. The line dance is played by all the dancers. The line dance consists of opening line, dadi line, mountain west line, and cloud taking line. Meanwhile, the couple dance is played by dancers in pairs, usually two dancers, but it can also be three or four dancers. There is no standard number of angguk dancers per performance, but the average use is 16 dancers plus one elder who performs the ritual during the performance and the nyuwuk officer taking awareness of the trance or ndadi angguk dancers. Two Bowo traditional singers and 13 Wiyaga music players. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder read by Ahmad Faisal.
Dari awal pertama kau bilang aku cinta, ku tahu ada yang tak biasa. Bodohnya aku sempat percaya, hingga ku lihat kamu dengan dia bercumbu. Dia yang kau bilang masa lalu, hatiku ternyata telah tertipu. Kau bilang setia, ku bilang percuma. Sampai kapankah aku harus berpura-pura? Aku tak tahu kamu bertemu dengan si dia. Sampai kapan ku harus pura-pura hubungan aku dan kamu? Baik-baik saja. Hingga ku lihat kamu dengan dia bercumbu. Dia yang kau bilang masa lalu, hatiku ternyata tak tertipu. Kau bilang setia, ku bilang percuma. Sampai kapan aku harus berpura-pura? Harus berpura-pura. Aku tak tahu kamu bertemu dengan si dia. Sampai kapan aku harus berpura-pura?
Aku tak tahu kamu tahu.
Thank you for still listening to the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present you Miscellany. VOI listener, Cappadocia, Turkey is famous for its hot air balloon. But now we talk about Indonesia, which also has a spot and festival for hot air balloons. The name is Obelix Village Hot Air Balloon Festival 2023, held on November 5, 2023. The event is held at Obelix Village, Sleman Regency, Yogyakarta. Obelix Village Hot Air Balloon Festival 2023 is not about hot air balloons. There is a lot of entertainment and good food. Visitors can enjoy musical performances, art exhibitions, games, and tasty local delicacies. There are also Zumba, Angklung performances, and handicraft stands. The location Obelix Village is a family tour destination with the village vibe in Yogyakarta, Java Island. The Obelix Village Hot Air Balloon Festival 2023 is a rare chance to celebrate the beauty of hot air balloons, explore Indonesian cultures, and have fun with families. The event is not only bringing unforgettable entertainment, but also an interesting and inspiring experience. Well, listener, that's today's miscellany from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Berlalu masih saja ku tunggu dirimu bayangmu dalam kisah kita yang telah berlalu. Oh malam sampaikan
berlalu, biarkan ku jalani.
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia, only on voynews.id, RRI Playgo mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz. Listener, the next segment is a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners, it's nice to meet you again with me, Daniel Rashad at Music Corner. In today's edition, I am going to play a traditional Malay song from Riau Islands, entitled Lancang Kuning. This song, created by Sulaiman Syafei, is usually sung at regional events in the Riau Islands, especially during a leadership election. Lancang means sheep, while kuning is the color of the Riau's past royal emblem. Lancang Kuning was the Sultan's boat during the Malay Kingdom. It serves a similar function to that of warships today. Another message from the song reminds a leader, to lead a nation, the leader must have command of what he will show. Like a skipper, he or she will determine the directions of the sailing ship and hold the huge responsibility. This song is going to be sung by Atik, since it was uploaded on Gahara's YouTube channel on December 2, 2019. Until today, it has been watched more than 950,000 times. Alright listeners, this is Lancang Kuning from Riau Islands. Enjoy listening.
Lancang kuning berlayar malam, hai berlayar malam. Lancang kuning.
Voice of Indonesia. Of Indonesia.
I'm having a grasp. somehow finally find you were desperately looking for. Funny how you thought that was gonna be New York, with chalkboard walls and slanted floors. Oh, we could've had that and so much more. Ask your new lover what it's like to be given a real fighting chance before you wish your good riddance. Did anything ever really count, or was that just a 2-year practice round?
VOI listener, now we have come to an end of the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Don't forget to follow us on social media on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, Instagram at voice.of.indonesia, and YouTube channel VOI Indonesia. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you again in another interesting edition of the English service of Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.